Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We ready then?
Indeed we are.
This is the first time we've done a morning pod.
And it's ludicrous. It's a scandal.
It's early. It's very early. Well, not that that matters to anybody listening, so let's just crack on with it. Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod!
Hello. Yes, the first round of Super Rugby matches of the weekend haven't even finished. Well, for Saturday morning anyway, haven't even finished and we are already podding. So thank you very much for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening through the Acast app or on iTunes as well, where you can subscribe. You can leave your messages and we very much appreciate it. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And you've got, again, JB.
Good morning, Tim.
You've got Philip.
Hi, Tim.
Right, listen, we've got lots to talk about, despite the fact that rugby in the Northern Hemisphere is grinding to a halt. There's still a little bit of top 14 rugby going on. There's some under 20 World Cup stuff. And of course, there's stuff going on in the Southern Hemisphere. And we are looking ahead to the World Cup. But I suppose we have to start and pay respects to the Terminator, Gerry Collins, who tragically and obviously unexpectedly died. A shocking bit of news, really.
Yeah.
35.
34. 35 this year.
Pretty devastating, actually, because he's the kind of player that I really liked. In a world where I keep on raging about players being boring and cardboard cutouts and all the rest of it, he was the exact opposite and almost exactly what I love about rugby, which is a character. So it was very, very sad news.
There's few players that instill fear in the opposition like Gerry Collins did when he was in his pomp.
Well, do you know what the really brilliant thing was? And someone tweeted this, is who has the nickname Terminator and Hitman and yet was so universally loved?
Yeah, he was loved and respected in equal measure by his own teammates, everyone that played with him and everyone that played against him.
Shane Williams told a story yesterday. Now, I need to get this exactly right, but it's something like after training with the Ospreys, he'd jump in a cab and go, what was it?
He basically travels 100 miles in any direction and see where he ended up.
That's amazing!
Try and find a rugby club or something and he would end up like on a Wednesday night training with some local team.
Seriously?
And then going out on the beers with some local team. Yeah, this was on Wales Today or something like that.
That's unreal.
Yesterday.
Well, that's how he ended up at Barnstable Rugby Club. Basically, he met the chairman on a night out and then played for the second teams.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's a few incredible Gerry Collins stories. That's one of the best ones, the Barnstable, which I think everyone knows. But he was having a meal out one
You're
day.
So right. I mean,
one day.
In a world where, and as we've said before, we're getting... fortunately, we're nowhere near football, but you're getting a little bit towards that whole cliche post-match interview model professionals who are a bit less interesting. You're getting a bit further away from guys like Gerry Collins. It's important to remember what a character that fella was. That's awesome. Did you see Chris Marsoe during
yes.
the Toulon game?
Yes.
Before the Toulon game.
He didn't, actually.
He bleached his hair with the blonde
nice.
Top and the dark sides.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah.
It's a lovely touch, that.
Hell of a tribute, because they obviously played together in the All Black back row on many occasions. I thought that was really, really nice tribute. the other stories, just while we're still on Gerry Collins.
Yeah.
I love the Barnstable story. And then playing the bar bars with Barnstable socks on. When he was a current All Black as well. The Japanese department store knife story is ridiculous.
Is this all rumour?
No, it is genuine. I skirted around it just because I just did. But what a story. I mean...
Well, for anyone who hasn't heard the story...
He somehow, when he was out in Japan, got embroiled with some Brazilian gang.
A Brazilian gang in Japan.
Out there, and was carrying around some two knives for his own protection. apparently.
See, I heard it differently, that he ran into a knife department store, or a department store which had a knife section.
The one I read was he carried them, walked into this department store, took out the knives, and then they didn't threaten anyone, was basically extremely worried about his own safety.
And then he said he was relieved that he got arrested.
Yeah, he got arrested. The Japanese police showed up, and when they saw the size of him, they called for 20-man backup. So 20 Japanese police officers arrived at the scene. He was docile and wasn't doing anything aggressive or anything like that. And then later admitted he was scared for his own life because of the Brazilian gang.
Mm. Incredible, incredible guy. And if he could have chucked a little soundbite together, because he sounded like he was a man of action, not a man of words, and he would have been as revered and loved as the Honey Badger is now.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, real character.
Absolutely. And the other one was in about 2005, when he was really at the peak of his powers, and he had to adjust his training to reduce the size of his biceps because they were affecting affecting his tackling technique.
Sounds familiar.
Who hasn't, Phil?
Well, of course.
Oh, good man. We'll come back to Jerry Collins because we've got a 15 to select in his honour, and we'll probably need some help from you on that one as well. So at Rugby Podcast, you can tweet, and we'll get into that in a little bit. However, another and a very different talking point, Sippers!
Oh, Danny.
Who literally, allegedly was literally Sippers.
But Allegedly.
Let's wait to see what's found out first.
Chocolate Nesquik. I didn't realise Chocolate Nesquik had an alcoholic content.
No, neither did he.
Yeah, let's reserve judgment on the alcoholic content. What we know so far is he crashed his car at 5 in the morning on Sunday morning after the Bar Bars game.
Yes.
He was breathalysed and then taken to a police station and then has been released on bail.
That's all we know. So the taken to a police station could actually have nothing to do with the breathalyzer test. It could have been
unrelated. It could be relation to the crash. He could have been texting and driving or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Which is equally criminal.
Well, it's not
act.
Equally, but it's a criminal act, I guess.
Well, it is a criminal act, and you'll get points on your license and all that. And potentially, well, if he's crashed because of it, he might get banned. So it might have an equal weighting.
Hypothetically, if it's a drink driving thing,
yes,
then Stuart Lancaster cast Danny Kerr aside for a time.
He did.
Yeah. If it was dangerous driving because you're texting, I mean, equally dangerous, all equally illegal.
I hope he's texting Stuart Lancaster.
Do you see how well I played?
Yes. Boss, watch the highlights again.
Coach, give me a shot.
I scored 33 points, boss. Two tries. I got 10 out of 10 conversions.
But let's just say hypothetically, it actually turns out to be driving without due care and attention.
Yeah.
Is that something Stuart Lancaster cast someone aside for? Is the drinking thing somehow elevate it more?
It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. If he's drink driving, for me, I do think he's got to be called into question whether he's going to be in the World Cup squad.
I've got an appeal. For anyone who's interested in taking this up,
hold on, JB. It sounds like if you're talking appeals, let's go on, Jay.
Thank you. if you're a current English international scrum half, or maybe even a winger, I implore you to do something to get dropped from Stuart Lancaster's team. Because at the moment, I have Sippers, 12 Flood, 13 Manu Tuilagi, wing Dylan Armitage. And fullback
Benders.
So if you want to do the right thing and you want to get dropped from the England squad, please help JB complete his banned England backline.
There are dropped wingers, but not banned wingers.
Dropped and banned. I mean, my pack is shaping up nicely. Hartley. I mean, Hartley and Stefan is the heartbeat of the pack. That's not bad, is it?
There's no one else, though, who's been banned. Well, then dropped for disciplinary reasons.
Hang on, what's different? Okay, not banned, but dropped. So we need two more backs. So Danny Kerr.
What would you do, Tim, if Sippers has been drink driving 5 in the morning after the England game, crashes his car, you're Stuart Lancaster, would you say, sorry, disciplinary reasons, you're going to be excluded, or would you...
Do you know what? Let's forget it's Danny Cipriani. Let's think for a second it's George Ford. What happens if it's George Ford? Do you think...
I know what happens if it's George Ford. They take him out the car... Okay, so do you like Mr. Wolf on Pulp Fiction? Right? So a Mr. Wolf character from the or if you gets there in his BM or whatever, they take George Ford out the car and they put Joe Ford in the car and then they drive off and then they call the police.
Well, maybe it was George Ford and they found Danny Cipriani was the closest thing they had on hand. So they just
Danny, what are you doing? Anything you want, boss? Get here now.
I'll do anything, boss. I'm training so hard. I'm working so hard for you.
We'll reward you, Danny. Don't you worry about it.
I don't know. I think if it's drink driving, he's done.
No, I think he is. I don't think he should be, but I think he is.
I think he is, which is a real shame because he played so well.
Here's the ominous thing for me. If it's been reported on stations, I heard it on Radio 4 of all places. So if this is the case, it will be a big media story, and Stuart Lancaster deals about as well with the media as... Well, he doesn't deal well with the media at all, actually. So I think he will actually buckle over Nick Easter. He's buckled over a lot of them. And also, he's got this very narcissistic thing, which is it's all about my environment and all the rest of it. So
no dickheads rule.
Yeah, no dickheads rule. Ironically. So
what is
that ironic?
I think it's a very dickhead thing to do to stop all these players playing. So
my favourite thing on the no
let the boys play,
let them play, let them play.
My favourite thing on the no dickheads rule was when it first came out with New Zealand about a year ago, and our egg chasers Twitter feed tweeted a link saying New Zealand's no dickhead policy. Someone tweeted us back saying it's a great sentiment, guys. But how well would the Egg Chasers rugby podcast work without JB?
It's a good point.
I will say this, though. I mean, these culture things which people do, and the All Blacks do it, they do it worse than almost anyone else, which is they say, well, we're a professional organisation, so we're going to get the top professionals and everything. I mean, we met the All Blacks public relations guy.
Media Joe.
Media Joe, who... shook our hand, said hello, and then told us to get out immediately.
Yeah, get out of my playing arena or whatever the hell he said.
Wasn't the most pleasant experience that we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I think...
Meeting Kieran Reid, however, that was one of the most pleasant experiences.
That was wonderful.
And I think what happens with these elite environments is that everyone thinks, oh, we're going to have the best dietitian in the world, we're going to have the best media guy in the world, we're going to have the best everything in the world. And all these experts think that they are the main reason that this team of international class rugby players are winning every week, and it's not. It's because the players are.
It becomes sanitised. And actually, you look at Saracens have just won the Aviva Premiership. Their environment is kind of in two camps. It's a bit like that in terms of they take care of all the little tiny 1% nuts and bolts. But actually, the squad and the group of guys, they jump out of planes together. They go on massive benders, get dropped in the middle of a city all together, and have to find their way home.
Yeah, I mean, I could get the best media guy in the world. Andy Coulson's looking for a job, so I could get someone like him and put him into Broughton Park to manage our Twitter account, and we would do no better. Yeah. And that's all I'm saying, is they kind of lose track of what they're trying to do.
So in terms of Sippers, I'm going to tell you what, because you're right, it's not till August that we're going to know exactly what happened, unless something is said or done beforehand by either Danny Cipriani, Stuart Lancaster or whatever. But from the police point of view, he's got to go back in August. But... It's a good opportunity to have a question, like a hypothetical. What 10s do you pick in your England squad anyway, even if Sippers is free, available and free of any wrongdoing of any kind?
I think it affects the backups, but obviously Ford's
but
one,
do,
isn't he?
Do so. You just go... I mean, Ford Farrell showed in the final and over this season they are 1-2.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've both got their merits.
Do you think they did?
Yeah.
Because I definitely think Farrell's number two. So I kind of agree with you. But I think if you want more of the same, you probably go Ford Cipriani. Do you see what I mean?
Well, interestingly, I think when Farrell was number one, I think Sippers misses out of the squad.
Because
what you've got is you've got a steady Eddie Owen Farrell. Then you've got your backup, who's a little bit more of a maverick George Ford. And so you don't need two backups that are different. You want, I'd have Myler. Mm. So I'd go Farrell if he was number one, Ford, and then Myler. When Ford's number one, maybe you need Sippers as the kind of replacement for Ford.
I suppose there is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I completely agree with it, actually. The other guy you got to throw in the mix is Slade. Because he's a mix of the two, really.
Yeah, inexperienced at 10, really, because he's played a lot of this season at 13, a bit at 12, a bit at 10. But it's going to depend how your squad is going to be made up because you've only got 31,
isn't it?
You have, I think, 5 or 6 props just because of the attrition rate, and you have 3 hookers because it's so specialised. So I'd go for two tens and then another one who can come from elsewhere.
Two tens and Slade,
unless you say that Goode can cover 10 one of the other games.
Andy Goode back in, yeah, good shout.
Finally!
Or there's an argument that 12 trees could do a job, but it would have to be last resort.
Every time I see Goode play 10, he impresses me more and more. To the point last year, if I was Goode, I would look at moving elsewhere to play 10 full time. Now, that's obviously stupid because he's in the England team as a fullback and he plays for Saracens as a fullback. But he's a really good playmaker.
He is.
And people don't give him enough credit for that.
Yeah.
I saw on the other Goode, Andy Goode, I do love that. And it's worth just saying again some of that. Andy Goode is better than Dan Carter because Andy Goode has scored 2,114 points in the Aviva Premiership. Carter has scored none.
Correct.
Yeah.
Andy Goode has won 17 caps for England. Carter has won none. And Goode has performed despite being overweight and out of shape his whole career. Carter has been in shape his whole career.
Yeah.
And finally, Carter gets paid more, so he's greedier.
Exactly.
All undisputable facts.
Fact.
Yeah. Well, so what would you pick, Jay? If you were Stuart Lancaster, which I know is making a cold look go across your face, if you were Stuart Lancaster, who would your 10 selections be for the World Cup?
Ford. I'm starting to warm to Farrell. So
Farrell was superb in the Premiership final.
He is very boring, but I like how abrasive he is.
Big match player, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's a cliche. It's one of those
cliches.
He's
a big match defender, and I appreciate that hugely.
He's never wilted under pressure.
And my third one, it would be Cipriani.
You go for 3, because then Sippers can cover 15 if it comes.
I would go for 3 as well. And Slade, it's come a season too early.
Yeah, and Cipriani.
Or Stuart Lancaster should have got him involved earlier in the season.
Yeah, maybe Slade involved in the autumn or in the Six Nations. I probably would have Slade because he covers the centre. He can cover 12, 13 and 10. So it wouldn't necessarily be an out-and-out 10 in the squad, but I would have him in the squad. I would be happy with Sippers as well. I think he's playing some good rugby.
Hey, listen up. Exciting news on the horizon. So obviously...
Are you about to apologise for last week's Quizgate?
No. You just wait.
Okay, sorry.
Some big news on the horizon. So because the World Cup's coming up, there's going to be loads of big events happening across the UK to try and, you know, promote rugby. One of them is O2 are doing a touch rugby tour, and at venues around the country. I think they've got 3 big main venues. Anyway, one of the venues in England is Manchester, the Etihad campus. Johnny Wilkinson's going to be at all the events. You can enter teams for £50, I think, and you can go and spectate for free.
Is he doing stand-up comedy?
Johnny Wilkinson? No, but listen, Johnny Wilkinson and Jason Robinson are going to be the 2 guests of honour, going there to hang about and be interviewed by they're going to chat to someone and there's going to be a host interviewing on the stage. Guess who the host is?
Oh yeah, Big Tim Conker.
I'm going to be there. Like, you are here, Jay, right here. Like, I'm going to be here and you're going to be like Johnny Wilkinson right there.
Do you know what I think the difference will be? That me and Phil say things. Sometimes we
interesting things.
Sometimes we say things which don't agree with each other, and other times we even argue. I can't imagine you're going to get that from Johnny. And
you don't think? Oh, it'll be awesome just to have a chat.
It'll be cool.
I'll actually probably just stand on the stage, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Wilkinson will come and stand next to me, and I'll probably just stroke his face for 10 minutes.
I actually think from the kind of brief interviews I've heard with Johnny Wilkinson since he's retired, I think he's relaxed a bit more and he's become a bit more open.
Pretty cool in the European Cup final, to be fair to him.
Yeah,
when he was talking about. Oh, hang on, I should get this team kicking
tactics.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing him a disservice. I'm sure he'll be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Get some stuff for the podcast as well.
Very excited. So they tried to get one of the 2 best Egg Chasers Rugby podcasts hosts.
Yeah, and you two were unavailable.
Yeah, they settled for the 3rd best,
So future guests on the podcast, Johnny Wilkinson, Jason Robinson, Mark Cueto also there.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
And this is the cool thing. And they want us to enter an Egg Chasers team. Perhaps we could recruit some.
You know my thoughts on touch.
What's that?
Negative. I never.
You have to have a minimum of 2 women on the team as well,
what?
Jay.
What? This is a scandal. It's not safe.
Now, I did play in this Wednesday just gone, an O2 Touch event down at Burnage.
Can I just tell you how much I hated Mixed Touch? I hated Mixed Touch so much. It was. And do you know who I hate even more? Are people who only play touch. So you get these teams, that come down, and the guys in the office say, "Oh yeah, I mean, I've got one in my office who corners me and talks to me about rugby. I don't have the heart to tell him it's not really rugby. Playing touch is not the same thing."
Are you the same about lads that play five-a-side football on it?
No, I'm not actually, because I think five-a-side football is far similar to football than touch rugby is to rugby. I mean, I hate it so much.
You don't treat it like you treat the skills, the passing, catching, evasive running. And all the rest of it, they're the same, but it's a different.
Well, no, yeah, but
it's totally different.
The other skills, like creating a weak shoulder contact, skill over the ball, it basically, you know, but all those things disappear. No, kicking disappears. You can't even kick in touch.
Fixing a defender, running at the inside shoulder, fixing a defender and offloading and picking good lines.
But
that's still the same.
Do you know what these really good touch teams do? They purposely take the contact and play the ball quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put the hand out as well. So they put the hand out so they voluntarily take the touch. I hate it so much. And they come. We play this team and they've got their own black little Jeep thing, and they show up and they've got like black kits, a little red, like red logo. If you're listening, you know who you are. and then, right, even worse, if you're going to, no, actually, I'm not going to continue about the type of people that play.
Well, I can't believe JB showed, he just self-edited and held back on his opinion. I've woken the beast again.
Forget it. Right, if you're going to win a mixed touch tournament, what you need is fast girls. Without fast girls, you are done.
Agreed.
Because girls are naturally a lot slower than
you have to
than
have,
lads, right?
You have to have two girls.
But invariably,
at all times.
The girls are organized.
Women.
Whatever, right?
Chicks.
two cisgender ladies. Invariably, the ladies that want to play rugby might come from like the pack. So actually, a female prop is no use to you whatsoever playing mixed touch. Outside of wingers, there is no use.
I will just counteract that and say you don't have to be that fast if you've got a good defensive shape and you work the inside and you cover the gaps. And it doesn't matter if you're that fast because you create a good wall, and then you can attack from.
Well, I won't be playing touch.
Phil's played an event
this week.
What you were about to say. You were about
running,
to see, Phil was about to say something. Go on, Phil. What were you going to say?
I played it this week. It's the first rugby. I use rugby very loosely. I've played in 18 months, so I was a little bit rusty. I quite enjoyed it, although I did get frustrated just because the standard is. People who've not played much rugby before, so they don't really know defensively where they should be, and offensively they know that tactic where you take the quick tap and then you run to eat up yards, but they don't know how to fix a man and pass and do that. And the number of times where I was either drawing a man to create room outside me or running a line for a little pop where there's huge gaps.
You were doing a Gavin Henson, putting people into space.
That's right.
Yeah. NASA, they call me NASA. So I got a little bit frustrated with that, and because my skills weren't where I would. Where they should be. So
let's never talk about touch on this podcast ever again, please.
I was going to say that they said, "What would you like to enter a team? Maybe."
I'd play. I would definitely play if
I will tell
team.
You right now. I will not play.
Would you coach?
It's
a bit of pre-season for your first season of coaching, Jay.
I want
bit of
nothing to do with touch rugby.
it's genuinely though. When I was down on Wednesday night at Burnage, there were probably 150 people there, something like that.
Oh, it's a big moneymaker.
Not just moneymaker. There's people there.
It's good for participation.
Yeah,
people there. If that's going to be objective, it is good for
people there who've never played senior rugby. Girls,
it's too late, though.
Girls and guys. No, not for playing rugby, but just for getting them involved.
Would you rather they're under the church of rugby?
No.
In the church of rugby,
albeit
touch.
Yeah.
No. But then they're watching the actual rugby, and they're buying a shirt, and they're going to see their local club, and they're buying a drink in the clubhouse. No. Would you rather they're not brought? We put an arm around them and bring them in.
No, not really.
I think that's short.
Who's on Mount Pius now?
You are. Shall we bring them into the big church? No, we're not going to bring them into any church.
No,
I will not recognise any other form of rugby than 15-a-side full contact, men only.
I like sevens occasionally.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in future weeks, but if anyone is either around the northwest area or is absolutely mental and wants to travel to it, then we might have a slot on our team opening up. Exciting things happening. I tell you what, is there anything more exciting that's happened in rugby recently than the Sergio Parisse reverse pass?
Oh, God.
We've
oh,
all done word. It.
did you see it, Jay?
I've only seen the vine of it. I didn't actually see the game.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't catch the game either.
No, I didn't catch the game either. But I saw the reverse pass.
It was nice.
Everyone's seen the reverse pass. It's beautiful.
We should maybe do like a list of the top 10 offloads. Because that's up there. But it's not as good as some of Sonny Bill's. I mean, some of Sonny Bill's. He is just a gift to rugby that keeps on giving. I watch his highlight video maybe twice a week. And that isn't a joke either.
But there's one thing, like doing an offload or a cheeky reverse pass and stuff in a game somewhere. But he did it taking out two defenders, putting someone in for a try against Toulon.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was quite incredible.
And Stad hammered Toulon as well. 33.
And sometimes you see those when someone's running towards touch. Sometimes you see that someone just flings it into the field, whichever way. He did it so
delicately. Yeah, so controlled.
And the ball stayed dead in an upright position and just had a little spiral on it.
Where do you rank Serge Parisse in the all time greats of flair players? I mean, as forwards, I think he's probably number one.
In forward terms,
yeah.
I think Zinzan Brook would probably be number one, like knocking drop goals over from the halfway line.
Remember Neil
Back. Crazy offloads.
Remember Neil Back knocked over a...
Neil Back.
A drop goal.
Neil Back, the extent of Neil, an amazing player, World Cup winner, incredible guy, but the extent of his flair was just standing at the back of malls for a whole career.
You're wrong, you know. You always think of him as like a bit of a scavenger. The scavenger before scavengers. And he was famous for being at the back of malls, but he was a really good rugby player.
Oh, yeah.
All round. He's either the first or only England forward to score a drop goal.
Probably the only.
Mm. Which is pretty impressive. I mean, this was a time when forwards did forward stuff and backs did back stuff, and you know that'll be it.
He is the Premiership's top try scorer for a forward, although most of that was the armchair ride in.
Yeah.
But not all of it. He was a superb player.
And there's also Harry Nordicke, who I think would probably run Parisse close.
I'd put Parisse above Harry Nordicke.
Yeah, I think Harry Nordicke had better kind of, not basic skills, but you know, those soft hands in the outside channel. In the same way that Parisse, Kieran Reid does.
Parisse would undoubtedly be a better centre than Sam Burgess.
Undoubtedly.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And also, he practiced spiral kick. He practices spiral kicks. So, what does that say about
him? He's up there.
Lots of forwards like to do that, though.
Yeah, that tells me, right, that he's nailed everything else. Like, everything else in fact, this game must be perfect.
JB, when you step into the coaching breach, what is your philosophy going to be on, like, before training? Because as a forward, all us forwards do, everyone just kicks.
Yeah, I hate watching forwards.
And we had one coach who just went, guys, I want you to do... I don't mind you warming up, but do something specific to what you're actually going to do in a game. Let's make use of the time before training. If you're going to be out early, make use of the time. Don't start just swatting the ball up and down.
Strangely enough, I have thought about this. Have you come across the Gilbert pass developer balls?
The heavy balls, medicine balls. Yeah.
I thought of only allowing the players to have Gilbert pass developers before I come out with the real balls for training. Have you ever tried to kick? It will break your foot.
It's like kicking a bowling ball.
So that was my initial idea.
Can you please implement a rule that if a forward kicks in play, they are immediately cut?
Immediately.
They're dropped. Straight away subbed and dropped for at least...
I'd have spent months on the sideline. I had a pretty tidy kick and I didn't...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I didn't use it unless I had to. And I would get us good field position.
I would love to see Tim's highlight reel, but as he remembers it.
Yes.
So Joe, oh no, it's Tim.
Is that Johnny Wilkinson out there?
I remember one. It was playing against Bruno.
Tell us how you remember it.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I remember it. A couple of minutes to go, Bath University just ahead of Brunel away. You know how you stand as a bit of a blocking runner, fly offs inside the try line, dead ball area. And I'm stood about 5 metres. I'm stood on the try line, like just blocking, kind of being there to make it awkward for people to run and charge. And the scrum half passes me the ball. Lightning reactions, despite having only a few yards, I did effectively one of those scrum half box kicks and made it to the 10 metre line. Thank you very much.
And where were you kicking from, halfway?
No, kicking from my own line. That's as I remember it.
I do like it when you chat about your rugby days, Tim. I'm not trying to blow smoke anywhere here, but you actually played with a really impressive team in Bath.
Oh, a Bath University team. I can't believe we never won the Booster Championship, but Joel Abt, who was the Toulon 7.
Leon now, is he?
He was in the back row with me. In our second row, we had an embarrassment of riches, so much so that James Hudson was on the bench.
The ruck inspector.
James Hudson, the ruck inspector from Gloucester, was on the bench because we had Luke Charteris and Nick Rouse.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a second row.
Rob Higgett, who played for Scarlets, Worcester, Bristol. He was our centre. Danny Gray, I think he's still playing in the Premiership somewhere. He was at Worcester and Bristol.
Is he a fly half or something?
Yeah, he was our fly half. Ridiculous number of top-notch players.
Yeah, because I asked on Periscope the other day, I asked Phil who's the best player he played against, and embarrassingly he said things like Dan Cole. And I'm thinking the best player that I played with, and I literally can think of none. Although I did play against Will Greenwood and gave him a try-scoring pass, but that was in a charity game.
He's the best player I've played with or against. Do you know what?
Luke Charteris is a pretty good shout.
Yeah, I didn't rate him that much when we played.
No one did for the first 10 years of his career.
I'll tell you one of the best players I've played against. You will never have heard of him. You might have, Tim. Sorry, I was pointing at Jay when I said...
Yeah.
Tim, you might have heard of him.
Yeah.
A guy called Joe Duffy at Nottingham.
Yeah, the hooker.
Oh, the hooker. Oh, my goodness. He was an amazing player. We went to Leicester Tigers.
He went to Leicester but never made it.
Never made it there. I thought when he went to Leicester, I went... He's in.
Because he was English qualified. He was a New Zealander, but he'd been in England for 4 or 5 years playing at Nottingham. I played against him 2 or 3 times as a hooker. He even played tight end against us, and he was unbelievable. The step up to him was greater than playing against like 12 Trees or Dan Cole or
I was really surprised he never made it, because what happened was Nottingham took Tom Youngs as a centre and gave him his first couple of seasons as a hooker.
Yeah.
And Joe Duffy went to Leicester the other direction, kind of a bit of a trade.
Yeah.
But Joe Duffy never made it. But no, you're right.
And I wonder what happened to him.
My brother had to pick for the rugby paper. He had to pick like that 15 best team he played with or against. And it was at the time he'd just gone to Leicester, and he went, and Nick's thing went, this is the best guy, the best player not in the Premiership, and watch out, England. He could be a dark horse for an England squad.
Do you find, right, that those rugby 15s, the rugby paper 15, always a bit confused, because it's half like my mates and half, you know, Carlos Spencer and then James from youth team who never quite made it. And you're like, are you thinking who you'd like to play with, or you know, the best team or whatever it may be?
I'll tell you what we'll do right now though, guys. Let's pick a hard man 15 in honour of Jerry Collins.
Of the Terminator.
The Hitman.
The Terminator. I've got some music for it. Terminator theme tune. So Jerry Collins sadly is lost. He is going to be 6 and captain in our hard man 15. And traditionally, I think your number 6 is the hardest of all players anyway.
Yeah, number 6 or second row.
Yeah,
second row
as an enforcer.
And the enforcer second row classically. But yes, so we are going to pick, and I think we should start in the backs because the real debates is going to be when we get
that's
up front.
A great show.
I think we might have to start in the forwards because my back's looking a bit sparse, and I was thinking we might have to put some forwards in the backs.
Well, we can do that.
But okay,
let's start in the backs because I think the biggest debates will be had in the forwards.
Definitely, definitely.
So let's go with is there any hard man 15, like 15, number 15, who's nails and a fullback?
Who have you got?
I thought Chris Latham.
What? No.
Because maybe he's like he's like carved out of granite. He's solid.
He was very very big. I'll give you that much. But that's
no, he was hard. More than big, he was hard.
Mike Brown is pretty tough for a fullback.
I like Mike Brown.
That'd be an angry 15, angry. Not a hard 15.
I think he's quite hard as well.
Did you not watch Chris Latham a lot?
Yeah. With his socks on his ankles.
Socks down, incredible, like, lolloping runner. Why? Really long gait.
Because I think, there's no comparison between hardness, him and Mike Brown.
Okay. Who was the hardest man in the England World Cup winning squad, according to the World Cup winners themselves? Because you've missed an obvious one.
Not Jason Robinson.
Nope.
Josh Lucy. Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone said he was nails.
But when he's got
like the military mental toughness, hasn't he?
But when he tried to climb Everest, his body gave up on him. His body's like, no, it's too hard.
Oh, no more. No. Like when our friend Steve Elliott couldn't make it up Mont Blanc. Idiot.
I'm too cold.
It's too cold.
Because he did that. He bought like a 60 quid Berghaus windbreaker jacket and thought that would be good enough.
Oh, poor Steve.
He was like minus 30.
Amazing. All right, so
I had to go with Josh Lucy. He was genuinely... Okay.
Well, he could go on the wing, depending on how we go with our wingers. So okay. What have we got for wingers?
Brian Lima.
Oh, yes. Is he not an outside centre?
I thought he was an inside centre.
Centre winger, I had him. Yeah. I always saw him as a centre winger.
Oh, right. The chiropractor. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got to be in there.
Okay. Hey,
Scott Gibbs in the centre. Let's fill up that position as well.
Scott Gibbs alongside possibly boxing champion Sunnyville.
Or potentially you could Tana Umanga was. I remember at the time again the physical conditioning of players has moved on a bit, but when he was around, he was a different breed.
Yeah,
of guy.
Umanga did start his All Blacks career on the wing, so you could have him.
He did. You're right. Him, Cullen. Lomu.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
All right.
How about this one? The one which you won't have. And I'm going to get his name wrong now. I think it's James Small. Is that right?
James Small?
South African guy.
Oh, yes. The guy who had all the... Who had the ding-dongs with John Bentley in the Lions tour in 97.
That's the one.
And Bentley got accused of eye gouging and stuff, and then Small was the one. He was a really angry, hot-headed...
Winger, yeah.
And he was pretty tough, to be fair. Right, can we get rid of this music? It feels like I'm in an Atari game.
All right. So how are we looking so far then? So we've got...
I've got a fly half for you.
Yeah, go on.
Duncan McRae.
Oh my God, wow. Yes, I know Duncan McRae.
Oh, yes.
Look at me pulling out the names today.
Duncan McRae is a psychopath, though.
Yeah, that works for me. or Butch James.
Yes.
Oh,
let's go Butch James.
Well, why don't we have Duncan McRae with Butch James at 12? That's abrasive, isn't it?
Excluding Sonny Bill.
Sonny Bill can play 13.
And then no Scott Gibbs.
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, it's only the guy we missed as well. Modern day player, and everyone, if you ask anyone to describe him, they just describe him as hard. He's a Welshman, and he doesn't currently start, but he will do now.
Scott Williams. Really?
Everyone describe. If you look at interviews and stuff, and you ask other players how they describe Scott Williams, they just say hard. Oh, and apparently Liam Williams is an absolute psychopath.
He's a psychopath, isn't he? He's just a bit of a Valley scumbag.
Hold on a minute. 10, Johnny Wilkinson. Fine. He's not hard off the pitch. He's got a very calm, relaxed demeanour. But you find a player who puts his body on the line more than Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from. I like where your head's at.
More so than Butch James, don't you reckon?
No, because Butch James...
It depends how you define hard, man.
Yeah, Butch James prioritised being hard over rugby.
Over everything else. Yeah. Over passing, over kicking.
Exactly.
Over the basic skills of a 10.
I mean, he must have practised his swinging arm. He must have. He's that good at it.
Do we have a scrum half?
I think there's plenty of scrum halves to go out here because a lot of them are pretty hard.
They like to think they're hard.
Well, Mike Phillips likes to think he's hard.
He does like to think he's hard.
He'd be leader for me. Because he's so abrasive, actually. Yeah.
Okay, Mike Phillips.
Are you happy calling Mike Phillips a hard man, though?
A pretty man, yes.
I'm trying to think of some other hard scrum halves, and I'm really struggling.
We're struggling, so...
Let us know.
The only one I can think of that would might technically fit is Mara Bergamasco.
Oh, I where I was going next.
But at Rugby Podcast, help us out with the scrum half. So we got 10, was it Butch James?
Yeah.
12, who are you going with?
Well, I was going to Duncan McRae, then Butch James, but you can go with Butch James.
Duncan McRae, Butch James, Sonny Bill.
Sonny Bill, 13.
Yeah. Tana Umanga and Brian Lima on the wings.
No, James Small.
James Small.
Have a look at some of his footage. Nasty piece of work.
He is a nasty piece of work. So I've gone on his Wikipedia page and it's basically talks about his verbal abuse and potential alleged racist abuse.
There we go. What is that?
I'm not sure if that shows how hard he is.
Yeah, we're sort of trying to celebrate the physical and mental toughness of players.
Well, look.
Not the semi-criminal, bigoted opinion.
If he's tough, he's tough. You can't rewrite history. He liked throwing fists.
All right. Now, and I think we need... Okay, if you don't like that Terminator music, then I think because this is right up your street, JB, I'm going to play...
Is it Wham? I'm your man.
Basically, all that's going to happen is we are going to bring up players that is going to make Jay go a bit weak at the knees, so... Let's talk about the hard men in rugby up front.
There we go.
We're going to start in the front row.
Front row
and work our way back.
Yeah.
Well, we've mentioned him before. We should mention him as much as we can because people don't know about him. Gerard Cholley.
Cholley. Yes.
Oh, yes. Gerard Cholley,
the French paratrooping boxing champion that was signed after a bar brawl in Clermont or Perpignan.
And before a European tie... he decided to get really worked up for the game. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll start grunting. Neil Jenkins would go and be sick in the toilet. Cholley punches the ceiling so hard that he punched a hole in the roof of the changing room and broke his hand, still going on and playing
his hand,
winning part in the match.
His hand was described as swelling to the size of a small melon.
What does that mean? I mean, there's so much range on a small melon. Well, I think my fists alone are bigger than a small melon.
Well, yeah, it depends how big it is. How big his fist was initially.
Do you know what his nickname was?
Go on.
Le Governor. That's true. It's actually a fact.
Wow.
Fact.
Le Governor, the baddest man ever, he was described. I'm sure he was frightening. In his playing days, he weighed 19 stone. And this is back in the, 70s.
Yeah, 6'4 and 19 stone.
Jesus.
That's like Sheridan size.
No, so the equivalent nowadays, he would be rocking the scales at, 24 stone. He was a heavy...
Have you adjusted that with inflation or something?
Yeah, exactly. He once laid out...
RPI, rugby player inflation.
He once laid out 4 Scottish players in the same match. So he would be pushing Jerry Collins for captain. Right, hooker.
There's so many options.
They're normally psychopaths. I got a nod for Graham Dawes, who for a long time played behind Brian Moore and arguably disciplinary reasons prevented him from getting more England caps.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a rugby league player, Paul Wood.
Who? I don't know Paul Wood.
Who plays for Warrington Wolves and in the grand final 3 years ago ruptured his testicle in the first half
and finished
the game with a ruptured testicle.
Who else did you?
Beautiful. Let's just let that moment hang for a second. Oof. Playing on with a ruptured ball.
Nice pun, let it hang. good one, Tim.
I can't think of a hooker that I would go... Because they're all the same breed.
It's hard to find a standout. I know one for you. James Dalton, the old South African hooker. He was a scumbag. I mean, he absolutely loved it. Yeah, James Dalton. Definitely.
Federico Mendes, on his first cap for Argentina, laid out Paul Ackford.
Yes, he did.
That's pretty hardcore.
Oh, hang on. Why are we not even talking about French hookers? There's been loads of really tough French hookers.
What you get up to in your summer holidays.
Andrew Dalton's a great shout.
Okay.
It was James Dalton a minute ago.
James Dalton.
Okay, cool. Tight head prop then. Or another prop.
Another prop.
What about Kevin Yates? Is he gouging or biting?
I think
again, you're both, getting into both. More just scumbag behaviour rather than hardness. We're honouring Jerry Collins with this 15, let's not forget.
I'll tell you who it isn't. I'll tell you who doesn't get in. Julian White does not get in.
Why?
Now, how?
Silent assassin.
Have I got this wrong? Did Julian White throw himself to the floor when he got hit by Andrew Sheridan? Or did Andrew Sheridan throw himself to the floor when he got hit by Julian White?
White floors Sheridan.
So White does get in. But, here we are. Let's have a look at this.
Phil's watching it on his laptop.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, what a scrimmage battle that is, by the way.
Yeah, it's a hell. Leicester versus Sale in about 2006. Oh.
He doesn't throw it. He just gets caught off guard. See, this is when
rugby. Yeah, he doesn't throw himself to the floor there.
This is when
that was a good punch.
This was the beginning of the end for rugby. This. So look, is that Ayurtsa? I didn't realize he's been there for so long. Ayurtsa, White and Shooter. That's a good front row, isn't it?
2009.
Julian White makes it in the 15 then.
Yeah,
but the only reason Julian White wouldn't make it in is because I remember him getting absolutely battered by a Canadian player called Dan Barr.
Some tough Canadians.
Well, it's one tough Canadian.
Let's get into second row. This is going to be so hard to pick, right? Let's just throw names in the ring. Jamie Cudmore's got to go in straight away.
Yes.
Former gangbanger.
Gangbanger.
By which
is that
mean,
what you mean?
He used to run with Canadian gangs.
He was an enforcer.
An enforcer for a gang.
For local drug lords.
Danny Grucock.
Yes.
One of my favourites.
I mean, there's few harder men.
Paul Ackford.
Yeah. Yeah. And his second row partner, Wade Dooley, back in the day was pretty nailed.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't it Wade Dooley got knocked out by Fredwegan?
No, it was Ackford. It was Ackford.
Were you sure?
Positive.
Okay.
Trevor Brennan.
Fabian Pelouse.
Pelouse, yeah.
Pelouse threatened physical violence to the French team if their discipline was to slip. How good's that?
Trevor Brennan, when he was at Toulouse, before a European Cup game, someone from the shout. From the crowd, in an Irish voice, shouted, "Brennan, your mother's a whore." and he looked into the crowd, and there was a former Ulster player was standing in the crowd and looked him in the eye and shouted, "Brennan, your mother's a whore." So Brennan climbed into the crowd and started throwing punches.
That was Brennan's last game, yo.
Was it his last game?
Last game. I think it might have been Gareth Thomas's last game for Toulouse as well.
We need to, again, I just need to draw this line. It's a Jerry Collins, hard man 15. Like, criminality is not where we're going.
Sometimes
the two cross, but the point is Jamie Cudmore might have had an upbringing in as an enforcer in gangs, but that only means that he's got a mental toughness, which we see week in, week out when he plays for Clermont and Canada.
Yes.
So
you're saying the best second rows come from a gangland background?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's basically what you said.
No, I'm saying that he's hard.
Gang violence has its place in rugby. Yes, what are you saying?
That's what I'm saying. Brad Thorne, we've not even mentioned Brad Thorne.
And Backies Botha.
Oh, wow. Can we pick? Right, let's just get rid of the backs and pick all second rows. So how do you pick between them? Brad Thorne, Backies Botha, Danny Grucock, Jamie Cudmore.
As long as Cudmore's in, I'm happy.
Oh, hang on. What about Hartley? Can we get Hartley in?
No, because I don't actually think he's that hard on the pitch.
You are completely wrong.
No, I'm completely correct.
No, you're completely wrong. So
Hibbard's harder than Hartley.
We're diametrically opposed here, Phil. There must be a middle way.
Hibbard is harder than Hartley.
Hibbard is hard, but I'm telling you right now, if Hartley was around 15 years ago, he'd be the best hooker in the world.
I do think
you're right.
Jay has arbitrary like people that he just the flavour of the month for some reason is Dylan Hartley. Right, okay, pick two from these. I'm just giving you a list of four. Grucock, Thorne, Botha, Cudmore. And I'll also chuck in, obviously, Charlie Matthews, the enforcer.
Oh, Charlie Matthews for me.
Charlie Matthews partnered with Jamie Cudmore.
Which two?
Backies Botha and Charlie Matthews, please.
Backies to play like the number five athletic one.
Yeah,
Charlie Matthews to be the enforcer. Yeah.
I still can't get over that in that interview. Do you think you'll be an enforcer, Charlie? Well, if you describe enforcer as hitting lots of rooks, I will certainly be enforcing a lot of things.
Which two do you pick? Botha, Grucock, Thorne, Cudmore?
I go for Cudmore alongside.
Well, it's got to be Botha, right?
Cool. Happy with that.
No, Brad Thorne in the Hardman 15. That's an incredible.
Brad Thorne, who finished his.
He's got forearms like Christmas hams.
Yeah.
He finished his rugby career in the sin bin. His last game, with 9 minutes to go, he got sin bin for a spear tackle.
For the Barbarians.
For the Barbarians, yeah.
Tell you what, a great top 10 of barbarian crime would be good. Purely the fact that you got. Someone stamped on Lawrence Dallaglio on the floor. That was a great one.
Not great.
There was look at you, pointing down at me. How dare you?
Sippers had an RTA the morning after a game. That was great.
That was great. There was Shout Brits trying to lay out Owen Farrell. He came just
came
through a ruck and just tried to lay out lay out his teammate and starting fly half. And then Brad Thorne gets sent to Sinbin. And these are just ones I can think of right now.
Right.
Barbarian crime top 10.
Right, just one final thing, because if you had a fight, right, because let's go down Jay's physical violence thing, a fight, I'm going on one side, Danny Grucock and Brad Thorne, on the other side, Backies Boater and Jamie Cudmore. I can't help thinking that Grucock and Thorne come out winners in that.
I can help thinking that.
What format is the fight going to be? Is it going to be a tag team wrestling match or just a free-for-all?
Here's a question. Without even thinking about it, I've just said, Backies Boater, hardest man. In rugby. I've just picked him for the hardest 15 of all time. In an era where actually, not only is it not celebrated by killjoys like yourself, but also it's very hard to be a tough guy because you can't throw fists and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is the whole Backies Boater thing just a massive PR thing? Has he got a great PR team behind
him? No.
To propagate this? Because how do you go about being... You can't do anything.
You can just continually... Like, for me, it's just putting in big hit after big hit after
but
big
he
hit.
He's not a big hitter.
He's not a big hitter. Nothing happens at Rucks when Backies Boater's around or when Danny Grucock was around or when Brad Thorne was around. You get a lot of clean ball because they smash it all day.
Mm. Yeah, I think that might be more to it, like smashing Rucks. But then we're into Charlie Matthews territory.
All right, well, anyway, we've got four incredible, ridiculous hard men. You just mentioned what format and talked about tag team wrestling. There's a tweet that was posted this week about me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So the tweet is from WWE Facts. So it's basically wrestling facts. And it said, unknown to many, English radio DJ on XFM, Tim Cocker's uncle, is Paul Bearer.
Is this true?
There's the tweet.
But is it true?
Me and Jay were discussing this on Thursday night.
Is it a proper account?
So Paul Bearer, the odd-looking big bloke who went around with The Undertaker during the 90s and 80s and 2000s and stuff.
God rest his soul.
No, he's not. He was never my uncle. Not that I know.
So why is that up there?
I don't know. They just obviously...
Is it a genuine account? It's not WWE, is it?
Well, no, it's clearly a joke because the last tweet they put was WWE legend Goldust cites Lily Savage as his inspiration behind his look.
Right, I see.
Okay, fine. So, good. Right, and we move from Lily Savage back to our hard man 15 and the back row. Jerry Collins is at 6, obviously.
Yeah.
Pipping some pretty good names to that spot.
Schalkberger is my one.
Schalkberger is very hard.
He is very, very hard.
Not least of which to come back from 18 months of injury and illness to playing the way he is currently playing for Springboks and Stormers.
And he likes the occasional gouge, if you remember his gouge.
Yeah, that's not so good.
That's cowardly.
Didn't that only get a 2-week ban?
It was ridiculous.
You
can't get rid of someone, right? Because if there's something wrong in the past, he was still tough.
he was. You can't say, he was very tough.
From Bo Pass, we won't even include him.
What about...
Only hard within the rules of... Queensbury rules.
Within the laws of the game.
Then no!
What about someone who didn't normally stay on the right side of the law? Lewis Moody.
He was hard. He's compared to the size and the frame of some of the guys we're talking about, he didn't have that. But what he had was mental toughness beyond most people.
Yeah. Well, same way as like Jack Berger.
Or Neil Barr.
Yeah.
I mean, sevens are weird.
Well, let's talk seven. Yeah, so seven, like Lewis Moody and Jack Berger are two great shouts.
Yeah.
Jack Berger, of course. Sorry, I'm getting confused with all the Schalks and Jacks and Britses and all the rest of it. Yeah, Jack Berger's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Jack Berger is our seven.
Yeah.
You're not going to get much of an argument from me.
Leaving number eight, who?
What about Scott Quinnell?
Yeah.
I would go Chris Marsowie, but he cried when someone hit him with a handbag. That is not a joke.
Buck Shelford?
Maybe.
Gore Godza
is pretty tough.
Buck Shelford, I'd go with him. And again, he might be too old for some of our listeners to remember, but I remember watching videos of the 87 World Cup and the guy was on another level. He was the hardest man in rugby. And
didn't he finish one game with like four lost teeth and a torn testicle?
That rings a bell. Yeah, he did do the torn testicle bit.
I bet he didn't ring his bell for a bit after that.
as did Joe Worsley.
Yes, Worsley did. Worsley was right.
His second test for the All Blacks, Buck Shelford had his scrotum ripped and lost four teeth at the bottom of a ruck against France. After a few stitches, he returned to the pitch.
The doctor stitched up his...
Only to be forced off later on in the game with concussion.
Well, Andy Farrell.
That's the heart.
Apparently broke his nose in a, I think it might even be against St. Helens, and I'm sure I've got this story wrong. But half time, the doctor looked at his now flat nose and said, "Andy, you can't play." Gets on the phone to a plastic surgeon to book Andy Farrell into a hospital like the day after, or you know, just to get his nose sorted out. After he comes off the phone, Andy Farrell's cut a hole in his nose, taped it up, and went out and played the second half.
Wow,
that's tough.
Well, Sam Burgess.
I would literally be in tears. Yeah. Tears cutting my nose.
My beautiful nose.
Oh, God. Sam Burgess,
broken cheekbone in the first minute.
Nails.
And then went on to win the game and get man of the match as well.
Sammy Minoa?
Sammy Minoa is pretty hard.
He's just very big.
Oh, no. He's a psychopath. You speak to anyone who knows anything about Sammy Minoa. He's nuts. He's absolutely
again, that
insane.
Doesn't necessarily.
I'm calling Shelford.
Yeah, Buck
I'm
Shelford.
Calling Shelford as our number eight. I'm rounding off a ridiculous, ridiculous 15. I've got one more thing.
Is it an apology for last week's quiz?
No, I'm not going to apologise for last week's quiz.
Did the editing on last week's quiz when you said Gloucester had won a final?
Okay, well, moving on. I've got something to play for you. So there was a discussion on TalkSport that I heard as I was driving back from the gym on Friday, and I heard this Friday lunchtime. They were talking about drugs in sprinting, and they sort of got a name wrong, and it just made me laugh a little bit.
Of drugs in athletics, and let's take Mo Farah and Alberto Salazar out of it. It's going to be in focus again very, very soon. It's 78 days to the start of the Athletics World Championship in Beijing. And we're only a year away from the next Olympics. And at both those events, provided both people are fit, I suspect we're going to see the following. In the men's 100 and men's 200 metres, Usain Bolt will be beaten by Warren Gatland, who at 32 years of age is now recording the most extraordinary times for a man of his antiquity. And, of course, Warren has been banned not once but twice for drugs. He's clean now because he gets tested every day. But the scientists are saying, well, hang on, this is all left over from when he was on the pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, athletics is...
Wow.
So let me just play that again.
Both those events, provided both people are fit, I suspect we're going to see the following. In the men's 100 and men's 200 metres, Usain Bolt will be beaten by Warren Gatland, who...
obviously means Justin Gatlin.
God, there must be some...
something going on there, isn't there?
Some drugs in sport
is
involved there.
He's going to broke both his heels. And now he's jet-heeled.
Just well, one thing that does remind me a little bit of the John Inverdale thing the other day, a couple of months ago, through Rose. Can you bleep me out, Tim?
Hold on a sec, sorry.
The John Inverdale thing when he was commenting on some horse racing on the radio, and he described it as looking through Rose... glasses.
Well, how do you get that wrong?
can you believe that?
I'm guessing he's been saying that on a night out or something.
Oh, wow. On that bombshell, that is it for this week's Rugby Podcast. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, anything you want to discuss, we'll be keep an eye out for our Twitter account because we'll be announcing some impromptu Periscope sessions which you can get involved in. And nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Bye.